Again, we'd like to welcome you. Certainly glad that everyone is here today. We have a number of guests. This is a special day for us. We're so thankful that you've chosen to come and be with us today. Just happy to see everyone here. I know it's getting a little crowded in some spots. There's plenty of seats down front, though, ladies and gentlemen. As usual, plenty of seats down front. I've been given the privilege of doing a little history lesson. The history of the Highland Hills Church, and I've got 10 minutes to do it, and a lot of history, 25 years of history to cover. So we're gonna get started on that. In August of 1990, there were a few families in Tullahoma that began to gather and talk about the need for perhaps a congregation that was a little more sharing, a little more loving in what they were experiencing. And after prayerfully considering the possibilities for about a month, perhaps a little bit longer, there were three families that kind of stepped up and said, we're gonna make this happen. And that was Dick and Vicki Fuel and their children, Ward and Janice Harder and their children, and Mike and Kathy DiLorenzo and their children. And they kind of took the leadership in establishing this church. It began meeting in a little house, 609 Wilson Avenue. Became affectionately known as a Big B Church because it was right down the street, right next to the Big B Pharmacy at that time, which is no longer there. But anyway, that kind of became a nickname for the church for a while. The first worship service was held September the 30th, 1990, and there were 33 in attendance. And I'm just going to ask, if you were there on that day, I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Would you put your hand high in the air if you were there on that day? Look around. There's several here. What a blessing. Get to witness 25 years of history. Brandon Fredenberg, who was a graduate student at David Lipscomb University, was initially the minister, and he drove down from Nashville each week to bring the lesson. 1991, Highland Hills was chosen as the name for the church. And in February of 1992, the property in which the building sits had been for sale for over a year. And I think the leaders of the church had looked at buying it earlier and decided against it, but it was still for sale a year later, which I think they took as a sign that it was meant to be. And they stepped up and committed to buy it and took a special contribution on February of 1992 that enabled them to purchase the lot. excuse me. There were some pictures on the slideshow. If you saw those of the groundbreaking, which was in October of 1992. And after the building was constructed, the first assembly was held here at King's Lane, April the 2nd, 1993. An early slogan that was chosen for Highland Hills as kind of a guideline to follow was "A family of God serving others." It's since been shortened just to "Love, Share, and Serve," which you see on the front of your brochure there today. Our focus today is not to talk about ourselves, although it may seem like that, but we really want to praise God today for all the things that He has done in and through us over the last 25 years, the opportunities that God has presented, and the blessings that He had poured out upon us. There are many ministry and mission activities that have taken place over the last 25 years, beginning in the early 90s when our teens were led to Manning, South Carolina for a Bible school for inner city children. 1997, the Fuel family and myself partnered with North Boulevard in Murfreesboro and made a mission trip to Tegucigalpa, Honduras, working through the Baxter Institute, where we had the opportunity to provide a medical support. Dick worked as a dentist, home building, and prison ministry. In 2003, three members made the trip to Panama, again, to participate in medical support and evangelism work. 2004, 5, and 6, there's 8 different people from the congregation here that went to Honduras, served in the Predison Clinic there for medical and evangelistic efforts. And while there, we became acquainted with a gentleman named Leon Philpott, who was American, and he and his wife were living there, building houses for the Hondurans, pouring concrete floors for the Hondurans, and we had an opportunity to support him for about 3 years in his home-building activities there. And then again, last year, 2014, we had five members that went to Honduras, and working through the Baxter Institute, connected with a church at Chiwita, and returned again this year. 12 of our members returned again in 2015, participated in a building project, and to support the minister there, Eddie Ibanez, and we're now supporting him full-time, the work there. Also, the Magi Box project is something we participated in for 12 years plus, and this year all of our Magi Boxes went to that local church in Chiwita, Honduras. I'll talk just a little bit about Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. Of course, everybody remembers that tragedy, which was 10 years ago. Over a three-year period, 2006, 7, and 8, we made 9 different trips from this church to New Orleans to work in relief efforts. 31 of our members participated in those trips, where we did church building, repair work, home demolition, repair of all kinds. And some of our members made as many as 5 of those trips. I want to elaborate just a little bit on some good that has come from that. A lot of good has come from it, I'm sure. But while we were there, we were able to participate with Charles and Angela Marsala, who were a couple at the Carrollton Avenue Church, and they were willing to serve as a minister at a new church in Holly Grove. Now, New Orleans is sometimes called the murder capital of the world, of the U.S., but Holly Grove is the murder capital within New Orleans. It's the really high crime rate. In Holly Grove, they don't put the wanted posters on the post office. They put them on billboards. You drive through Holly Grove, you see billboards wanted for murder and people's pictures on those signs. Anyway, there was a church building of another organization that had been flooded. It had been sitting there for 2 years. It was falling down. Essentially, weeds and bushes had grown up around it. And the elders at Carrollton Avenue managed to buy that property. And the work crew from Highland Hills was the first crew on site to cut the weeds, cut the bushes. Men from this church put a roof on it. They put siding on part of the house. They put new soffit up. Hauled all the moldy sheetrock and ceiling tile out. And many churches since have participated in that project, and it's been a successful one. But I always felt like we were there, the first soldiers on the scene, so to speak, to begin that project. That's been written up in the Christian Chronicles a number of times. The most recent article that I saw, it had a really nice picture of the building. It looked pristine. It had a nice sign out front. It had flowers going around the building, nice grass in front of the building. And they'd had 100 people at their most recent service, which is a really great success story. Those trips are really a bonding experience for us and have been a blessing in many ways to us. And if you want to know more about the eating experience, just see Howard Kersey. He has some pointers on the best places to eat and how to do it in that area. For the last 11 years, we have had, in the way of community benevolent support, Brother Bill Perry, who was one of those shepherds here for a number of years, is now retired from that position, but he still comes one day a week currently to be at the building to meet with those who have financial needs. Usually it's rent, utilities, they're in a tough spot, and Brother Perry has been our face to the community in terms of benevolent support. He not only offers financial support, but prayer, share some of his wisdom and counsel with the people that come. And it's more or less been a philosophy of Highland Hills from the very beginning to not try to ask all the questions, about how a person got to the position they're in, but to take their situation and look at it through the eyes of love and generosity and help wherever we can. The last 12 or 13 years, this church here has had services every Sunday morning at Morning Point across the street at the assisted living facility. And I also want to mention the Shepherd's House. For the last 3 years, we've been participating in support of Shepherd's House. We were able to put a roof on their storage building, put new siding on the storage building, and we generally meet once a month at Shepherd's House for a period of devotional and a good meal that we take in. We provided transportation for the residents to Nashville to see doctors, and we provided bedding and other supplies for people that were moving out and into the new house. Just covered briefly people who've served in key positions, the ministers who've served this church. And I mentioned Brandon Fredenberg. He was there initially for 1 year. A graduate assistant at Lipscomb. Following that, Bob Perry came to work with us, moved here from Birmingham, Alabama, served for 8 years as a minister. And following his leaving, David Craig, we became acquainted with David from Columbia, and he commuted for a number of months each Sunday to come and be our interim preacher. And he did that again after before we hired Shane. He wanted to be here today. He was here last Sunday. He had a conflict today, but he could not be here. Well, and following Bob and David's interim service, David Mitchell came and served for 5 years as our minister, followed by Shane Hines, who's now been here 10 years. He celebrated his 10th year recently, and he's still serving after that length of time. In terms of leadership, Ward Harder, Dick Fuel, and myself were selected as a leadership committee in September 1991. It was at a family meeting, and I still kind of remember that day, Dick. It was Gary Dixon. He was the one. He said, "You three are the guys," and everybody else didn't argue with him. But, and the three of us were then ordained as shepherds in March of 1996. And a few years later, Brother Bill Perry and Tom Dillingham were ordained as shepherds in September of 2003, followed by Al Rogers, March of 2011, and Dan Thomas a year ago. And we've been blessed with great men to serve as shepherds. If you don't mind, gentlemen, would you just stand? Those of you who are here today, all the shepherds who have served here, are here this morning. I'm so thankful for that. Would you stand just a minute? Let's get his name. Thank you. You may have noticed that there was one of those names that was here at the beginning. He was here the first day. He served as shepherd. He's still serving, currently serving as shepherd. And that's Ward Harder, and his wife Janice is always by his side and has been such a blessing to this church for 25 years, serving continuously in a leadership position. I just want to give Ward a special round of applause for his. I just want to touch base briefly about the building projects. The initial building was we had our first service in 1993. At that time, the building consisted of, it went as far as this wall right here and went straight back. And in 2001, we expanded this direction. All of this was added in 2001, including the space upstairs, which was a significant addition. And then in 2007, we were able to build out the upstairs and finish it out with classrooms and a particular area up there for our children and teens. And today, at the end of service, we get to celebrate the burning of the note, and we are all so grateful. Again, I'm so thankful for each one of you being here today, particularly those of you who are guests, and we thank you for coming and helping us celebrate and to praise God for all the blessings that He has given us over the last 25 years. Thank you.